You know, our words have power to build up and to tear down. Lives have been elevated, they've been cut down. You know, and sometimes goodness flows like a sweet river from our tongue, and sometimes it's a cesspool coming out. We talked briefly about the statue of the three monkeys, you know, one with its covering its eyes, one its ears, one its mouth, and it seems kind of funny, but evil is not funny, no matter where it comes from. As we talk about speak no evil today, how can something so small, you know, this little thing, be so much trouble? I think it only weighs 2 ounces, but it gets all 200 pounds of us in trouble. Philip said, the human tongue is physically small, but what a tremendous effect it can boast of. Calvin said, this slender portion of flesh contains the whole world of iniquity. Washington Irving said, a sharp tongue is the only edge tool that grows keener with constant use. Sonnenberg said, it's better to bite your tongue than eat your words. Another guy said, nothing is more wise than a fool who holds his tongue. Franklin said, a slip of the foot may you soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over. The Christian should learn 2 things about his tongue, how to hold it and how to use it. Well, in the book of James, James, a brother of Jesus, he had a lot of things to say about the tongue. He said, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion's worthless. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that brings freedom. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Chapter 4, he mentioned, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Then he added, don't grumble against each other or you will be judged. You know, the tongue is powerful, it's perverted, and it's also polluted. And we need help with it. And we're going to take a look in James chapter 3. To begin with, what are some ways that we can use our tongue for good and evil? Well, we can comfort and encourage. For Thessalonians, we're to talk about the fact that Jesus is coming back and therefore encourage one another with these words. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We're also told to bless and not curse. We're to share God's truth with our tongues. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. We can also share God's word. It talks about how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news, but it's not actually the feet that do the talking. It's our words. We can also praise God. And Hebrews says, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. On the other hand, there's some other bad things we can do with our tongue, such as gossip. Proverbs 16 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and gossip separates close friends. There's a man named R.G. Letourneau, and years ago, he owned a large earth-moving equipment. He was a major manufacturer. And they used to have a scraper called the Model G, and somebody once asked the salesman, what does the G stand for? And the salesman got to thinking for a second, and he said, well, I guess the G stands for gossip. Because like gossip, this machine moves a lot of dirt, and it moves it fast. Ooh, that could be a problem. Slander, you know, that's uttering false charges. That's not a good thing to use our tongue with. Leviticus 19, don't go about spreading slander. There's also coarse joking in Colossians 3. Rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Also, we can take God's name in vain, which is not good. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Lies are a problem in Ephesians 4. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Well, there was a group of boys in New England, and a pastor noticed the group and standing around a small dog. And so they said, what are you boys doing? And one of the kids said to the pastor, oh, we're just telling lies. The one who tells the biggest lie gets to keep the dog. And the minister said, why? When I was your age, I never even thought of telling a lie. The boys looked at each other a little sad, and they said, well, I guess he wins the dog. Then in Ephesians 4 tells us a little bit about what to do and what not to do with our tongue. Not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. but only what is helpful for building others up according to their faith, that it may benefit those who listen. So jumping into James chapter 1, first off, the tongue is powerful. He goes on to say, not many of you should be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I got to tell you, I have to think about that a lot. It is important. Those who teach will be judged more strictly, and we who teach with our mouths and with letters on a page, that's a big deal. God wants us to have control over our tongues, and if a person doesn't, that's a real indicator of whether they're submitted to God or not. It says we all stumble in many ways. If anyone's never at fault on what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. You know, we all slip up, we all blow it, and sometimes things do come out. But we are to be careful with what we say. You know, I really don't know anyone who totally keeps their tongue in check, but I do know some who have done a pretty good job. I'll never forget when we had Jack Carlton's memorial service. Someone said, Jack never had a bad word to say about anyone, and no one ever had a bad word to say about Jack. He was a holy, godly man, but I'm sure even he had his days. But James next gives three examples about how the tongue is small and yet it has a great impact. In verse 3, when we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. You know, I think I read somewhere that an Olympic weightlifter can maybe lift like 550 pounds over their head. That's a lot of weight. I don't know if people will be able to do much more than that. But you put 550 pounds on a horse, and if it's a decent-sized horse, it won't bat an eye. It'll just keep on trucking. That same horse, you take the weight off of it, it can run a quarter mile in 25 seconds. There's a lot of horsepower in a horse. But you put a bridle and a bit in its mouth, and my daughter can control that thing and make it do what it needs to do. And she's learned, and she knows how to do that. The word bridle in the Greek means to lead. You know, I've never seen a horse want and willingly put a bridle on itself. No, someone's got to come and do that. And in a sense, our tongues really need bridles, and we need God to do so for us. And then it goes another example. Take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. It doesn't matter if it's a cruise ship or aircraft carrier or a tiny little skiff with a 5-horsepower motor. That little rudder control. He who holds the rudder is going to control where it goes. It goes on to say, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Pretty much everyone around here knows what that's like. Obenchain, Alameda. Pretty much all of us either had to evacuate, and a few of us got burned out, in fact. Oh, boy, that little spark wreaked havoc. In October 18, 1871, 9 p.m. one Sunday evening, Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over the lantern as she was being milked. The Great Chicago Fire burned 3.5 miles of the city, destroying 17,000 buildings before they finally stopped it with gunpowder, blowing up the next city block kind of deal. The fire lasted 2 days and cost 250 lives. It's interesting, though, the same day, an even bigger fire started in the north woods of Wisconsin. It burned for an entire month, taking more lives than the Chicago fire, and billions of yards of timber were taken. Again, we know what it's like to have one little spark. In a sense, those who misuse the tongue, myself included, are guilty of spiritual arson. That little word can destroy everything in its path. And it can even kill at a distance. It's been said that about 90% of the flames we experience in life come from the tongue, probably our own or someone else's. And about 90% of what is said or heard about another's character is probably better unsaid. Proverbs tells us the tongue has the power of life and death. Psalm 141, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. It's interesting, if you've ever been out to the Columbia River, it's fascinating to watch the big ships come in and out. That's very treacherous ground. It's kind of a graveyard of the Northwest. So many ships have gone down there. Well, what happens is you may have a captain that's taken a ship, well, let's say it's full of cars from Japan or bobbleheads from China, and they get all the way across, but suddenly they're in dangerous territory. And so a bar pilot that knows the river comes, maybe they drive out in a little little powerboat, or probably these days they're helicoptered, and they land on the ship, and they're the ones that guide it in. Even though the captain's brought the ship 10,000 miles already, the bar pilot knows the hazards, the sand, the sandbars, and where to dock. And wise is the captain that yields the reins to the one who knows what they're doing. In a real sense, Jesus knows what he's doing, and he knows the hazards. We've really got to turn the controls over to him. Well, the tongue is powerful. It's also perverted. Let's look at verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Your tongue can do good, it can do bad. You know, it's amazing what you say gets around. All these celebrity types or sports figures, they might have said something as a 19-year-old kid, and 20 years later, everyone's talking about it. Wow. I'm glad I'm not the president and have every word scrutinized. Oh my goodness. Sometimes our political leaders say a lot of dumb things because they're saying a lot of dumb things. Sometimes things just kind of come out, and we should probably cut them a little slack, because imagine if you had a camera following you every hour of the day. Oh my goodness. That's not to excuse the absolute idiotic things some are saying, but it is to say, let's cut them a little slack when they get a little tongue-tied sometimes. People can tame animals, but boy, we can't tame ourselves. It's interesting, it says, and in itself, set on fire by hell. It's continually being set on fire by hell. Actually, James used the same word his brother Jesus used, to Gehenna. It's talking about the perpetually burning garbage dump outside of Jerusalem, where Jesus said, their worm doesn't die, the fire isn't quenched. The point, what I think he's saying is, the uncontrolled tongue is a direct pipeline to hell. And the pipeline goes both ways. Because it's fueled by hell, it burns our lives with its filthy fires. I think it's safe to say that probably every rumor, filthy word, uncontrolled curse word, or divisive speech is from Satan. He loves destroying homes and hearts and hopes. And the tongue is more powerful than a hydrogen bomb. I mean, think about that. Hydrogen bomb will blow up everything and then life is over. But the tongue, its effects can last into eternity. It goes on, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men. I've seen trained seals at SeaWorld do cool things. I've also seen like the guy at the circus, he sticks his head in the lion's mouth. I don't know if they still do that, but they used to. But I've never really seen a person who could tame their tongue. And verse 8 in fact says, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Words are really powerful. You know, many children have heard some of the words they've only heard are, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything. Well, what happens? The child begins to believe that, and they take it into their head, and pretty soon that's how they live. I am worthless, and they don't expect much of themselves. But then sometimes kids hear words like, you are somebody, you are important, you have important things God has put you on earth to do. And when those children believe those words, that goes a long ways. We can all remember hard words that were said to us. Hopefully we can also remember good words too. Well, the tongue is also polluted and it must be cleansed in verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. This cursing and blessing is a big deal. A curse is the opposite of a bless. You know, think about it. Everyone we interact with has been made in God's image. And to curse someone's not just to swear at them, but in a sense, at least in the Old Testament, it's the desire they be cut off from God. Whoa, that's a big deal. Instead of cursing, Jesus wants us to bless others. Out of the same mouth, verse 10, comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I read that the American Indians used to use the term forked tongue to describe conflicting or deceptive speech, and unfortunately they faced a lot of that. But in the spiritual realm, that's a person who praises God one minute and cusses their neighbor with the next breath. I love God, and gives them that. That person's self-deceiving, it's not what they should do. There are a few springs, I think, that may produce a mixture of fresh and salt water, but you can't use it. Sometimes you get down to mangrove swamps and a few of the critters seem to like it, but I wouldn't recommend drinking it. It's where the salt water and the freshwater mix, and it's brackish, and it's not good for us. It's not good for agriculture. That's not how it should be. Our tongue really tells us what's inside. If garbage is inside, garbage will come out. Jesus again said, out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. The ultimate solution isn't replace angry words with golly's or whatever the case might be, but though that would be a little better. But I'll ask you, do you use Christianese at church so you appear holy, but are you skilled at sarcasm and put-downs at home? Do you enjoy gossip, sharing it and hearing it? What do you laugh at or about? You know, would your answers to those questions make your profession to love God a lie or truth? Jesus said, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. Solomon said, our hearts are like the wellspring of life. You know, if you have an incompetent doctor is just going to treat symptoms and not the cause of the disease. You know, sometimes people get a film on their tongue for various reasons. And a good doctor's not just going to say, well, here's some Listerine. He's actually going to diagnose and do some tests and really figure things out. He wants to find the source of the problem. You know, education's not going to solve the problem of the tongue. Trying harder won't. You know, people can split the atom and they can go to the moon and back. We got satellites that can read the date of a penny from space. We've conquered the land, almost the ocean, yet we can't tame ourselves. What's the solution? Well, Augustine had an interesting statement. He said, the Bible does not say that no one can tame the tongue, but no one of men. So that when it is tamed, we confess that this is brought about by the pity, the help, the grace of God. We can't tame the tongue, but we can know someone who can. You know, if we've got symptoms of conflicting, polluted speech, we want to bring them to the cross. You know, every now and then you talk about, you know, kids at youth camp go and they nail their sins to the cross. I guess you could nail your tongue, but I don't recommend it. Now, you could also stick it to a cold flagpole, but sometimes I feel like I need to. But I'm going to say when we're confronted with evil in our tongue, we've got to do like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. He was confronted with the glory of God, and he said, woe to me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then he submitted himself to God's cleansing. Then one of the angels flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken from the altar. And with it, the angel touched his mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt's taken away, your sin's atoned for. We're not told exactly what his sin was, but it's interesting he touched his mouth. That's probably a safe place to start. And then be prepared to serve. And then he said, here I am, Lord, send me. You know, if you want purity and Christ-likeness to characterize your life, we really got to start with the tongue. Again, it's going to show the world what is important to us. Do we belong to God based on how we use it? May we speak words of truth and love and beauty and God. We need his help, and he is ready to help us if we will call upon him. Let's pray. Lord, I know my tongue often gets ahead of my mind and heart. I'm quick to speak, and I repent of the many thoughtless things I've spoken. I'm sorry for words I've spoken in anger or in gossip. Please help me see when I'm about to speak without thinking and to check my heart first. Help me to be slow to speak. Lord, help me to be a person full of loving words, full of your spirit, overflowing with love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. We all need your help with this, Lord, and we thank you that everyone who calls upon you, you will help. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.